And as you find your seat there, you can take your Bible and turn with us tonight. And we're going to find ourselves in Exodus chapter 12 for our Bible study tonight. Exodus chapter 12. And we'll be there momentarily. It's the second book of your Bibles, Genesis, Exodus. And then Exodus chapter number 12. And as you're finding your place there, I want you to take your imagination a little bit and imagine, if you could, that you find yourself standing at a doorway. And you're staring at the house or the business or the church or the grocery store, whatever it is. But you're standing at a doorway and you're standing at the structure. You're standing at the building. And you see that it's full of people, and within that building, within that structure, whether it be a house or a business or whatever the case may be, within that place, it is filled to the brim with people. And in that place and amongst those people, you have some people that are holy, you have some people that are religious, you have some people that attend church, but then on the opposite hand, you have some that they don't know what holiness is, they don't know what it means to be part of a church, they don't know what it means to be a Christian, they don't know what it means to be saved from sin, and then you have some that are young, you have some that are old, and you just have a whole eclectic mix of people within that structure. Some holy, some sinful, some saved, some not saved, some old, some young. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, if we had the choice, would we pick and choose who gets protection? Say some crazy person runs in there, and for, you know, Lord forbid, they start shooting people and harming people and just causing chaos. And it's our decision. Who are we going to protect? Are we going to protect the young people because they have more of an opportunity at life? Or are we going to protect the old people because they know how to rebuild from something like this? Or are we going to save the ones who are saved because we need more righteousness in our nation and our communities? Or are we going to save the sinful ones because they still need a chance to get saved? And what is our choice going to be? Well, in Exodus chapter 12 tonight, God had that exact choice to make. He had a choice of who he is going to protect. And here's the answer to the question. He didn't take that choice. All he actually did was look for the blood on the doorposts. And that is what made all the difference for the people inside of the house. And so tonight we're going to explore just why our worthiness doesn't matter. And why it doesn't matter if somebody considers us worthy or not of God's love. Because it doesn't matter what somebody else says about us. It doesn't matter if someone looks at you and says, and maybe they even tell you to your face, you're not worthy of love. Well, that's not their decision to make. Because God has already made that decision. He's already made that determination. And he's already determined that he loves you. And he loves you no matter what. And it's only the blood of Jesus that can save us. And so you're there, Exodus chapter 12. And notice there, if you would, verse number 13. Exodus chapter 12. And actually, let's begin at verse number 12. Exodus chapter number 12 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague will not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." And so here in Exodus chapter 12, we see that God was delivering Israel from 400 years of Egyptian bondage. And the final plague is to be the death of the firstborn. And we see that in Exodus chapter 11, and now here into Exodus chapter 12. And there was a Hebrew tradition that said that the blood of the lamb, if applied to the doorposts of a house, would be a symbol, it would be a mark of obedience. It would be a mark of faith. It would be a mark of reliance on God's provision. And what we see that God's criteria for that salvation, it wasn't a person's worth. He didn't come to each person in each house and give them a test to see if they were worthy or not of his salvation. He didn't come to every person in every house and give them a test to see if they were worthy of coming to heaven. Because here's the secret ingredient: none of us are worthy to go to heaven without the blood of Christ applied to our hearts and to our accounts. And so we see that God is trying to get them to understand that it was faith and that it was the blood. No ceremony, no moral checklist, just the lamb's blood applied to their life. Now I want you to picture two homes, and they're sitting side by side, and the one home, it's perfect, it's spotless, it's moral on the outside. You go inside, and I mean, it will look like nobody lives there. Now, I don't know about you, but you come to our house, it looks like people live there. Okay? And I know from talking to some of you that if I were to go to your house, it would look like people live there, and it wouldn't be all spot and neatless and you know, clean. Or it might be clean, but it might messy, I guess the right word would be. And stuff everywhere. And what? Clutter. Clutter. That's right. It would be cluttered. And it's signs of life. And that's the first house I want us to picture, though. None of that. Just spotless. Just, I mean, it looks like a museum almost. But then the second house, it's messy. It's full of flaws. It's got its own box room. It's got its own, as we do at the house, because of all of our medical supplies, it has all the boxes in there. Or his brother Kenny in his house, he has a styrofoam room as he kind of looks away in embarrassment as I just called him out about him and his styrofoam. But, you know, we all have rooms like that. You know, we all have rooms that sometimes we go, we open and we say, well, what's in here? And then we look in there and then we say, oh, I don't want to know what's in there. And I shut the door. And we all have places like that, you know, because some of us, we've gone from a junk drawer to a junk room. And that's all right. That's signs of life. And this other home, it's messy. It's full of flaws. It, you know, it's cluttered. It has all these things, but it's also sinful as well. This plague that the Exodus chapter 12 is talking about, if it was to pass over, and if it were to pass over as humans would have it pass over, it would pass over the spotless house and condemn the messy house. But the plague, as described to us here in Exodus chapter 12, would pass over only the home with the blood. It wouldn't matter the home with better behavior. And that's just like us tonight. God's mercy isn't about how clean our lives are. Because listen, we are people. We have lives that are messy. We have things in our life, listen, that we're not necessarily proud of. And things that if we could change, we would change, but there's just certain things in our life that we can't change. But here's the good news tonight. If we give those things to God, if we give those things to Jesus, He can take those things and He can change them and He can make the difference in them. And so we see here that God's mercy isn't about how clean our lives is. It's all about Jesus, His blood covering our sin, and what Jesus has already done for us. And so notice again there, verse number 13. The Bible says, and the blood shall be to you for a token. And so the first thing we see tonight is that the blood is a token. That word token, it's Hebrew, O-T-H, oath. It means a sign or a mark or a single or a signal, excuse me. So God required a visible sign of faith. And so we're going to see this Sunday morning is that our faith must be active. It must be shown outwardly. In other words, a confession, a repentance, an obedience. And so that's why when somebody gets saved, we have them come up in front of the church and we have them give that public testimony of their salvation, because that's to make their faith public and to make it known. That's why when somebody gets baptized, that is an outward showing of what Christ has done on the inside. That is a testimony, that is a token, that is showing that Jesus has made a change in your life. And so our faith must be active. It must be shown outwardly in a confession and repentance and obedience. But then we see, secondly tonight, God didn't check inside the house. He didn't check inside the house. He didn't look at wealth. He didn't look at wisdom. He didn't look at works. You don't have to turn there, but Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now listen, some argue that God, He rewards works. And He does. There is blessings for serving God. But here, works cannot save. It's only our faith in the blood. It's only our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we see thoroughly tonight. It's only the blood that can cover us. It's only the blood that can cover us. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's just like the Lamb's blood protected Israel, the blood of Jesus protects us eternally. And when you put your faith in Jesus and you ask Him to save you, He does just that. He saves you and He promises you that one day when you die, He'll take you to heaven with Him. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And listen, we think of the thief on the cross tonight. The thief on the cross tonight, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into paradise. And the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That man never had to go to church. That man never had to get baptized. That man never had to do a good work. Why? Because it's not in what we do. It's in what He has done for us on Calvary's cross. And if you're here tonight and you don't know for sure that if you were to step through those doors and you, Lord forbid, you leave here tonight, you get hit by a bus going down the street, you die, you step into eternity, and you don't know for sure that Jesus is your Savior. You don't know for sure that you're going to heaven. We can promise you tonight that we have an answer from the Word of God that if you need to know, that you can know that tonight before you leave this church. And so we can't earn our salvation. We must apply the blood by faith. And so what do we have to do then? Here are some simple applications we can take from this simple verse tonight. Number one, stop trusting in yourself. Stop trusting in yourself. Like the Israelites, our goodness is not good enough. Listen, you might be a good person according to the world standards. You know, you might not, you know, hurt people. You might not steal. You might not, do those sort of things. You might be a good person, humanly speaking. But the Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one. And we all are in the same boat. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. It's only the blood that matters. And then secondly, apply the blood daily. Confess your sin, claim Jesus' sacrifice, and trust God's protection. And then tell others about the blood. Listen, the world can't save itself. They need the Lamb. They need Jesus. You need Jesus tonight. I need Jesus tonight. This is a perfect day to use this illustration. It's raining out there tonight. It's been raining all day, on and off. And so think of an umbrella in a storm. Now, whether you're tall, you're short, you're strong, you're weak, you're fat, you're skinny, you're young, you're old, listen, it doesn't matter. But if you stand under that umbrella, you're safe, theoretically speaking, right? I mean, unless a big gust of wind comes and pulls it inside out and pulls it out of your hand. I've had that happen. I'm sure you have as well. But if you get under that umbrella, you're safe from the storm. Well, tonight, the blood of Jesus is a spiritual umbrella. And your past, no matter what it is you've done in your past, you know, so many people sometimes I talk to, and they say, you know, and they look at Christianity, and they look at church as a place of where there's nothing but rules, things you can do and things you can't do, and that's the furthest thing from the truth. And some people, they say, oh, you know, the things I've done in my past, there's no way that God could love me. And listen, I'm here to tell you, your past does not disqualify you. It does not matter what you have done in the past. Because listen, the second we start saying something we have done is unforgivable is the moment we start to call the cross unreliable. And the moment we start saying that, we say, well, then God's not enough. Then Jesus isn't enough. And listen, it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. All that matters is your faith. Do you have faith tonight in Jesus? Have you asked Jesus tonight to be your Savior? Have you asked Him to forgive you of your sins? Because if you've done that, or if you have to do that, and if you will do that, ask Jesus to forgive you your sins and to take you to heaven when you die, then the Bible tells us in 1 John, these things I write unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And if you'll just put your faith in Him tonight, then you will know that you know that you know that you have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to hope so. You don't have to think so. Maybe so. You can know so that Jesus is your Savior. When you move houses. When we moved here, we had to fill out a change of address card with the post office. Well, tonight, if you need to be saved, you can fill out a spiritual change of address card. And you can change your address from dying in your sins and going to hell to dying in salvation and going to heaven. And you can go tonight from darkness to light, from death to life. And all you have to do is put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for that salvation. And tonight we need to know that God, He didn't ask who was worthy. Because the truth is, if He asked that, none of us would be worthy, because we're all deserving, myself included, of a very real place called hell. No, all He did when He went over the houses, all He did was look for the blood. And when He saw the blood on the doorposts, He passed over that house. And tonight, when He passes over your life, does He see the blood applied to your heart? And if He passes over your heart tonight and He sees the blood applied to your heart, when He passes over you, He will pass you by and you'll be spared the judgment someday. Tonight, He looks at your heart through the blood of Jesus. And no matter your failures, no matter your flaws, His blood covers you. It protects you from death and eternal separation. And so here's the question tonight. If Jesus were to pass over you tonight and He were to look at your heart, does He see the blood applied to it? If not, you can have it applied tonight. You can ask Him to be your Savior tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand together to our feet.